Does God have a central place in your life? Oh, I know you're here on a Sunday morning. Does God have a central place in your life? Or is he on the back burner?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. A popular TV show asks the question, who wants to be a millionaire? This evening, Pastor Brian Grant takes us to the little book of Malachi, from which he takes 4 points from the prophet's counsel to his materialistic nation about finding true prosperity that will endure the ups and downs of life and bring lasting joy in the life to come. Pastor Grant offers 4 points that describe what that means in real life. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Experiencing God's Overflowing Blessings.
A preacher was delivering a sermon designed to motivate his church to give to the building fund. And you know, as some preachers can do so well, I'm not one of those who can preach this type of thing. But he said, let the church walk. Immediately a man in the back responded, amen, brother, let the church walk. The preacher then said, let the church run. The man in the back said, yes, brother, let the church run. The preacher was thankful for the man's encouragement, so he shouted, let the church fly. And there was a man in the back. He was silent this time. Oh, and he said, in fact, the man spoke up. He said, let the church fly. But then the preacher went and said this. The preacher said, it's going to take a lot of money to let the church fly. There was a lot of silence, and then all of a sudden, the man in the back shouted, brother, let the church walk! His talk was cheap, for he had no desire to make any big sacrifices for God. Although most Christians would like to see the church making greater impact in our world, many of us, come on now, are unwilling to make sacrifices for God. Sometimes we don't mind some sacrifices. I'm not only talking about what's in your pocketbook. So we are a little reluctant with that too. But sometimes we're very reluctant with our time. We're in and we're out. But God wants to use each of us to make an impact for him. And today, as we spend some time in Malachi chapter 3, a chapter which we don't often get to, I'm using as my theme, experiencing God's overflowing blessings. About 600 years before the birth of Christ, God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to take Israel into captivity. Some of you remember that. But about 70 years after very harsh captivity, God miraculously delivered them. You would think that after God's miraculous deliverance, that Israel would have been committed to faithfully serving the Lord. But sadly, their fervor for serving God, yes, when they were delivered, they were excited and they were serving God, but their fervor to serve the Lord quickly vanished. And as the book of Malachi, this opens, the book of Malachi describes this nation, the nation that God had miraculously delivered. We find them, they have returned to their sinful and rebellious ways and had once again put God on the back burner. How is it in your life? Does God have a central place in your life? Oh, I know you're here on a Sunday morning. Does God have a central place in your life? Or is he on the back burner? Today, as we study Malachi chapter 3, I'd like to share 4 things with you, because you may be thinking this is all about money. It's not, you know, a lot of times when we go to Malachi chapter 3, it's all about money. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about money, but this morning I want to talk about 4 things. 4 things about experiencing God's overflowing blessings. Here's the first thing I want to bring to your attention. Add this to your notes. God's overflowing blessings will only come after spiritual cleansing. God's overflowing blessings will only come after spiritual cleansing. And so here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, it reads, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me," says the Lord. And you know who the messenger who is going to prepare the way before him? Anybody remembers the name? John the Baptist. And then he says, after the messenger has prepared the way, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? He's not talking about the first coming. For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. The text states that the Lord sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and until we receive spiritual cleansing, we will never experience the manifold blessings of God. You know, we're living in a world where people are making light of sin. But God has not changed his mind. Amen. For Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 still states, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Don't miss that. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Holiness is a prerequisite for heaven. Amen? As the whole old hymn of the faith said, we must take time to be what? Holy. We must take time to be holy. Are you taking time to be holy? You know, the path to holiness begins at the cross. Amen? Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And perhaps you're listening this morning and you have never yet turned from your sin and turned to God. The Bible tells us that we were all sinners. We were born sinners. Every single one of us, as good looking as you may be, we were all born sinners. As respectable as you may seem to be, we were all born sinners. But thank God, John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. Salvation and everlasting life are available to who? To whoever believes. So no matter who you are, no matter how many bad corners you have gone around, you can receive God's forgiveness and spiritual cleansing today. If you're not saved, I urge you, listen, that's the first point I want to make this morning. If you're not saved, if you're not sure that Jesus Christ has cleansed you from your sin, if you're not sure that you have a reserved seat in heaven, if you're not sure that the Spirit of God lives in you, make sure today and come to Jesus and receive his salvation and receive his spiritual cleansing. The third verse of the hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy," goes like this. "Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret." Oh, you know, this is a good verse even for those of us who are believers. Because sometimes, you know, we think that getting holy, coming to Christ is enough. The verse reminds us, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone by looking to Jesus. Like him, thou shalt be thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see as we spend more time in secret with Jesus. Amen. Thank God for those who join in with prayer meetings, the public prayer meetings. But listen, we need to make sure if you want to take time to be holy, it's so important to take time privately. Amen. Thank God for the public reading. Thank God for the Bible studies we have on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But if you want to take time to be holy and grow with Jesus, we've got to take private time. Spend time in secret with Jesus. He says, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. May God work in each of our hearts. Even some of us who have been running this race for a long time. Sometimes we're always running. But might the Spirit of God challenge us and work in our hearts that we might desire to take time in secret with Jesus as we spend time in his word and on our knees. Amen. That we might be more like Jesus. More like Jesus. God's overflowing blessings will only come after spiritual cleansing. But here's the second thing I want to bring to your attention. God's overflowing blessings will only come when we honor him with our tithes and our offerings. Yes, I'm going there. Amen. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? God answers, in tithes and offerings. And God then says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, one of the things I hate when I'm driving my car, I hate when the indicator light comes on, this warning light. Because when that warning light comes on, this indicator light, it usually is telling me what? It's telling me that something is wrong. There is some mechanical problem. And as most of you know, this dear brother is not mechanical at all. Not at all. So if anything needs to be done, that could be done at our home with that car. I call my wife. But if it's beyond her capability, then I'm going to have to call a mechanic. Thank God for some of the brothers around here. I was just trying to change a windshield wiper blade the other day, and one of the brothers after church had to help me just put the thing on because I couldn't figure for the life of me. I Googled and whatever, all that stuff is. I couldn't figure how to do it. So when these lights come on, I usually know it's money. Money is going in the wrong direction. But just like an indicator light warns us of hidden mechanical problems, failing to honor God in our giving is usually an indicator of spiritual problems. We may not realize that. Whenever you find yourself not generously giving to God, it's usually an indicator there is a spiritual problem. I heard a preacher say, our level of spiritual seriousness and development will usually show up in our checkbook. I wrote it down because I thought, wow, that's powerful. Our level of spiritual seriousness and development will usually show up in our checkbook. So how's your checkbook? You know, most Christians know we should give to God, but many of us have no desire to give generously to him. So we give God a tip and spend the rest on ourselves. You know, this is just an illustration. Two worn out bills, a $100 bill and a $1 bill, arrived at the Federal Reserve Bank to be retired. You know, they actually, after a while, after they get too messed up, they actually retire them. And so the $100 bill and a $1 bill arrived at the Federal Reserve to be retired. And as they traveled down the conveyor belt, they struck up a conversation. The $100 bill told stories about the fabulous life he had enjoyed, traveling around the country. He said, I've been to the finest restaurants. I've gone to the finest hotels. I've gone to all the Broadway shows and the big sporting events. He said, I even went around on a Caribbean cruise. Then he turned to the $1 bill, and he asked the $1 bill, so what about you? Where have you been? The $1 bill dejectedly answered, I've been to the Baptist church. I've been to the Episcopal church. I've been to the Methodist church. I've been to the Brethren church. In fact, the only place I've been is the church. I know cash is outdated, so the $1 bill may not be making it to church anymore. But here's what I want to use that illustration to say. Let's never forget that when we fail to give generously to God, we may forfeit his plan to bless us. Young person, older person, let that sink in. We have this idea that the less I give to God, the more I have to keep. It's a bad idea. Because you can give a dollar to God and keep $5,000 to yourself, and God can make that $5,000 disappear in a flash. For all sorts of things can happen. Problems in your health, problems in your job, problems on the house, problem people breaking in, problem. And so says God. God says, will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But he's saying, watch where we have robbed you in tithes. You are cursed with a curse. Bible. God says, when you rob me, don't rob me. And then turn to me and say, oh God, please bless me. Don't miss it. When we don't give generously to God, we are robbing him. What's another word for a person who is robbing? Oh, you said it. I didn't say it. You said it. So why should I be generous? Let me give you another illustration. Back in the glory days of McDonald's, this is a story I made up, so it's back in the glory days of McDonald's, James took his six-year-old son, Dave, to Mickey D's. And so he asked him, son, what did he want? And Dave said, you know, I want a Coke and fries. As Dad was placing the order for the Coke and fries, Dave's heart pounded in glee. You know, little boy, he heard that his dad telling the cashier to supersize the fries. Of course, nowadays a supersized fry is just a regular fry, because the regular fry has gone smaller. But back then, a super fry, super size was really the thing, all right? Dad paid for the Cokes, and he paid for the super size fries. He took them to the table. He prayed a short prayer for the food. God bless this food, amen. Poor little son, he thought that prayer was too long. That was too many words, you know. But that he was so eager to sink his teeth into those wonderful fries. His dad looked and he was so happy that his son Dave was enjoying something so simple. So dad decided he was going to join in the fun. But as he reached over to get a couple of Dave's fries, guess what happened? What do you think happened? Dave quickly put his arms around his fries. And Dave said to Dad, these are mine. Dad couldn't believe his son's attitude. Did Dave realize, I am the one who provided the fries? Does Dave realize that I gave him more than he expected because I gave him a super-sized fries? So why is Dave talking about my fries? Then that thought, Since I'm 6'4" and 220 pounds, does Dave realize that I have the power to take all the fries from him, despite the fact he has his arms surrounding them like a fort? Dad didn't really need the fries. He only wanted Dave to willingly share the blessing he had provided. You got it? Yeah. Has God blessed you with any fries? Did God supersize your fries? But sadly, just like Dave, many of us have put forts around the fries God has blessed us with. We're reluctant to share our resources with the very God who gave us everything that we have. We are reluctant to share our resources with Him, the God who can take everything that we have. God does not need your money, nor does He need mine. Amen. For the cattle on 1,000 hills are His, and all the silver and the gold are His. But despite this, God loves when we, His children, come on now, willingly and generously share with Him from the blessings He has given us, from the fries He has blessed us with. He is so excited to see when we willingly share generously. Amen. But there's a lot of additional blessings mentioned in this text. Look at verse number 10. He says, bring up all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. When you bring all the fries, he says, test me out. Verse 11, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and what? Pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, God's blessings, people say, are you telling me? I remember one time it actually happened. Somebody, I was the treasurer. Somebody wrote me and said, it was a member of the church, but they said, I'm going to send you $100. Would you pray that so that God will give me back? I don't remember how much he wanted it multiplied by, but they actually assumed that this was an investment banking business. You send the church $100. And suddenly you get $5,000 back. And that's not what God is talking about. But God is saying, test me if I will not pour you out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And then God goes on. And listen, the blessings of God are so much better than just money. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. He will rebuke the devourer so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Listen, God is so good. Little song says, God is so good. He's so good to me.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.